Blog Talk Radio.
Van Silk, Tribe Family Channel, Genius is Common, our sponsor. This is Van Silk and Cool Cal, Hip Hop You Don't Stop, When It Was Hip Hop. What up, Cal?
What up, baby boy? What's going on, y'all? How's everybody doing?
Man, it's raining down here in Florida. Missy D got the boat ride. Is it raining in New York?
It's pouring, my man. It's pouring right now in New York.
Wow. It's crazy.
Cats and dogs.
It's crazy. Well, this is our second episode of the second season of Hip Hop You Don't Stop, When It Was Hip Hop. And like we always do, we always have a special guest. But I like to hold on for 1 minute because I'm hearing a little noise in the background. But I just like to say there's a lot of things going on in New York. A lot of things going on in New York and Bronx to Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens. You know, it's like so many outdoor hip-hop joints from the old school to the new school. Matter of fact, Cal, you was up at the Owensville Old Timers Day. What was it like up there? I seen you at Alert, the original Clark Kent. Yo, man, what was it like up there, man? I missed it again.
Yeah, you did, my man. Owensville Old Timers Day is my old hood's annual Old Timers Day. In fact, that's the neighborhood I grew up at. We do it every year. That's the neighborhood that had the original T Connection, iconic hip hop spot in the Bronx. That was my home base, my MC, DJ Sinbad played. You know, everybody went through there, Red Alert, Soul Sonic Force, Grandmaster Flash, Grand Wizard Theater, Furious Five, Fantastic Five, and on and on and on. Cool Herc, Herculoids. Because every year we gathered all over the park, and this year was spectacular like every year. Cool DJ Red Alert played. Clark Kent made an appearance, JC made an appearance, Tony Crush made an appearance, let me see who else, Chuck Chill Out played, Breakout,
WD was
DJ
there,
Breakout
for Funky Four was there, even DJ the group, Barry. The R&B group, GQ performed.
GQ played, Allison Williams performed, KK Rockwell made an appearance, Charlie Rock, Fuji. Original B-Boy showed up. It was great, man. It was really great, man. So you missed your face in the place you should have been there, but it was great.
And next Thursday at New Jersey Pack, July 20th, out in New Jersey, Curtis Blow and Friends with Orange Juice Jones. And I spoke to Spoonie G today. Spoonie G is going to be out there with Allison Jones. Who's Allison Jones? Is that Allison Winston? She changed her name to Jones?
I don't think so. I think that's the other Allison. That's the other singer.
And DJ Hollywood and Chuck Chillout's going to be out there on the turntables. But,
yes,
you know, like I said, there's a lot of things going on in Brooklyn and Queens and Harlem. And matter of fact, my man Chucky Chuck have something on July 22nd at Springfield Park. Ralph McDaniels, I talked to him. He said he's going out there, Infinity Machine with DJ Divine. So there's a lot of pioneers out there with parties, yo. A lot of summer parties out there.
New York is sparkling in the summer, so.
But we got to get on with the hip-hop You Don't Stop. We got a great guest tonight because she's so used to talking to everybody else.
Yeah.
We going to flip the script.
We got her on the hot seat. We got her on the hot seat, Kyle.
Now, there's a lot of websites out there all over the world, hip-hop websites, rap websites, you know, and a lot of them cover hip-hop. A lot of them cover rap. A lot of them are bipartisan. They give equal opportunities to first generation, middle generation, and what's going on today. And we have the pleasure of having the editor at hiphopdx.com. But also she writes for Thrasher, High Times, and she has the pleasure to even work with the great Chuck D from Public Enemy. And tonight, our guest, I'm going to mess her name up, but her first name is Cal. Cal Youssef. Welcome to Hip Hop.
Yes.
Welcome to Hip Hop You Don't Stop, When It Was Hip Hop. How you doing?
great now. It's good to be talking to you guys, that's for sure.
Wow. Cal, you can go ahead and start it off, Cal, because I know there's some things you want to ask Cal. Two Cals in one van.
I know. Definitely. I'm like, this is the first time you've had a girl, Kyle, on the show.
I know. That's fantastic, Kyle. First of all, we'd like to welcome you to our show. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. I'm a big fan of your site. You've been doing your thing for years. You're well-known and very well-respected amongst us, the pioneers. You know, so we check you out. We know what you write. We know your skill level. We know how well adapted and well adjusted you are to the history and the knowledge of hip-hop on all levels. And I'd like to salute you for being a part of our show tonight. That's great. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you.
Oh, I am humbled. That was amazing. To hear that from you is probably the biggest honor. I mean, that's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's start this off and get right into your story. I'd like to know what turned you on to hip-hop briefly in the beginning. What made you want to be involved in hip-hop? I mean, you know, not to bring race into the equation, because we all know hip-hop is multi-generational and multicultural, of course. But
yeah.
What made this white girl named Kyle decide to get into hip-hop?
I mean, not only am I a white girl named Kyle, but I'm also from the Bible Belt of Omaha, Nebraska. So I grew up in Omaha. I'm smack dab in the middle of the country. You know, we tend to get things kind of late. But luckily, I grew up with a father who was a musician. And in, I'd say, the early 80s, we went to a record store. And he came out with Beastie Boys, Licensed to Ill, on tape. And I think I was like in fifth grade, maybe fourth grade, and he put that on. And my mom, of course, was like, Bill, turn that off. And I was like, what is this? It was life-changing. The beats, the simplicity of the bass, everything, their humor. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is, I want to know where these guys come from and what they're about and where can I find more of this. And so from there, it kind of turned into, you know, Run DMC and then eventually Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul and Public Enemy and all those, you know, great groups that have really, you know, made the culture. And I've always loved all kinds of music. It's just that something about that bass has always kind of attracted me to the genre. And then just, you know, as I've gotten into it professionally, learning about the culture and how it was really cultivated and created. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. It never gets boring.
Wow, that's great. That's really great. And you know what the wild thing is? You mentioned the Beastie Boys. You know, I was very good friends with them at one time. We used to record at Green Street Studios at the same time. Russell was my manager then. Russell also a very good friend of Vance. So, you know, we all come from the same school, the same areas. You know, we all hung out together. And that you mentioned them is wild because their main goal was to say, like, Later for America, Later for the kids that they liked, even though they were down with them. But their main goal in the beginning was to throw their middle finger up at hip-hop, at rock, even though they really wanted to be rock musicians deep in their hearts. But they were really joking in the beginning. They didn't take any of this seriously. And for them to make an impact on you is phenomenal. And you ran with it. That's great.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that too is years later when I interviewed DJ Hurricane, so I was blown away when he explained to me that really when he first got on tour, kind of by mistake, he ended up being their tour DJ. He was really kind of afraid of what people were going to think about him. You know, he's like, here's these white kids, like, wiling out and being disrespectful and all that. And he really didn't know how he was going to be looked at, you know, manning the decks, I guess, behind these guys.
Right.
And to know that, I was like, wow, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea.
In the beginning, they were obnoxious, and they wanted to be obnoxious. And you really wanted to smack the water out of them, even though they were running around behind Russell. And Russell knew the inside joke, and Russell said, no, take them seriously. We're like, hell no. Like, I almost had a fight with them in the studio one night over studio time. They were like, we're the Beastie Boys. I'm like, yeah, so what? But
yeah. No, that's so funny. And I think that initially, yeah, I mean, they wanted to be punk rock musicians. They had their first band, which was a punk band. And then,
right.
I don't know, they really just gravitated towards the whole, like, hip-hop movement and ran with that, too. And look what they did. It's pretty fantastic.
Also, they hung out in the streets. They were well-educated, and one of their dads was very well-known, very well-educated. They were graffiti writers also. Van Silk, would you like to ask Kyle something? I know you got something on your mind, too. Silk?
Uh-oh.
Van Silk?
Okay.
Yeah, I had the phone on mute because I always put on mute while I was talking.
Gotcha.
I want to ask Kyle, being multitasking in what you do, when you write for Thrasher or you write for High Times or write for Hip Hop DX, how do you put your mind to separate and you know, generate, okay, I got to do this hip-hop story tonight. I got to do this rock story. I got to do something on weed. How do you break all that down? Or I got to do this for Chuck. How do you break that down? How do your day go when you break it down like that?
You know what? I don't think I even separate it. To me, I look like, okay, I got to tell these stories. I have to, you know, continue this musical narrative. And it doesn't matter what genre it's on, really. I mean, I know that I have a job to do. Something inside just drives me to do it. Like, I guess I could consider myself a workaholic because I'll work like 12 hours a day and I'll write like 8 stories a day. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, but it's just when you find something that you love so much, it doesn't really feel like work. It's more like, you know, something fun to do. And you just happen to get paid to do it. You know how it goes.
Wow. And another thing I wanted to ask you, because I'm going to let Carol do most of this tonight. I want to know, you know, in your dealings and the work that you do, like, just because our introduction was the night our brother T.C. Islam got murdered. You was on top of it. You reached out to DJ Ready Red and all that. You was on top of it. And just spoke from the hip-hop angle. How important is it for you to get an exclusive and be first in this game when you have a website like allhiphop.com, then you got Global Grind, then you got my boy Steve Samuel, who got SOHH.com. How much of it is for you to get that first exclusive and the most important story?
It's huge. And I want to tell you a story in particular. When I was writing for The Source, the night that Fife Dog died, I was the first to see it on Facebook because several of my friends started posting about it. And I posted that story first, and because mine was the first, I mean, it spread like wildfire. Like, it was the biggest story The Source had in, like, a long-ass time. That's all I know. And then recently, I learned my lesson the hard way when KRS-One's new record came out. I was listening to it, and I realized that he had mistakenly named the wrong Beastie Boys being dead in one of the songs. And I wrote a story about it, and I was like, and the title was something like, wait, did KRS-One just say, you know, Ad-Rock was dead when he meant MCA? And that story blew up, but it wasn't until the next day when XXL took it and wrote the same story, and all of a sudden they got credit for it, and I was so, so annoyed because I knew that I was the first to point it out. But because I didn't have that exclusive quote, I didn't reach out to KRS, or I didn't hear back from him in time, I should say, because I did reach out to him. I reached out to his wife. And because I didn't have an exclusive quote, they were just able to take my story and run with it. And so the next thing you know, KRS-One issues an apology for the song, takes it off the digital release, and says thanks to XXL for pointing it out. And so a bunch of people like stood up for me on Twitter and were like, actually, Kyle used this at Hip Hop DX, pointed it out, blah, 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 but there was really nothing that I could do just because I didn't have that exclusivity. I didn't have a quote from The Source. So, yeah, it was a hard lesson, but I am never going to make that mistake again. Like, I will never make that mistake.
And you know what? We're going to fix that up. But mentioning The Source, I remember some years ago, I'm talking about years ago, when two young white guys walked up into my office on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this paper.
Wow.
It was 8 pages, white pages, black and white. Wow. See, Van, we want to talk to you. We want to put this magazine out called The Source. And I'm like, yo, who the fuck is you? Who's you? Oh, my name is David Mays, and my name is John Schechter. We also are in a rap group called BMOG, which a lot of people don't know. They were rappers.
Right.
Yeah.
BMOG. And I said, yo, that magazine, yo, make it happen. And next thing you know, here go The Source magazine. And I've done a few interviews with The Source when it was in control of it because, you know, my work, understand that Benzino was also an investor into The Source, which he now
mm-hmm.
owns Hip Hop Weekly. And our friend, that used to be at Right On, Cynthia Horner, is the editor of Hip Hop Weekly. But just to make the long story short of how hip hop has transcended, you know, over the years from XXL, you know, and then you had Globe and Noble Media that owned Rap Masters magazine and Word Up magazine, but also they owned Today's Black Woman, they owned Black Men, they owned Hype Here, and well, they out of business now. They went out of business last year, and they sold all. They just threw all the extra magazines in the garbage, which I had called Scott up to try to get them. But just to show you how far hip hop has came from the different magazines, and you know, and The Source was like a very viable part of hip hop, but at a certain time it got crazy, and that's why I respectable.
Yeah.
As far as very respectable in what you do, like what draw me and Cool Cal and a lot to what you do, you was very interested into TC Islam. A lot of people didn't know who TC Islam was. A lot of, you know, educated rapper when he passed,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, and
mm-hmm.
here we go again. We lost somebody else. Again, Fresh
right.
Kid Ice from
Tulare. And then, of course, Prodigy. And, yeah, I covered the Fresh Kid Ice story yesterday, and I just feel that, you know, knowing your hip-hop history, respecting the pioneers, is so essential and so crucial to what I – it's so crucial to what I do. Like, there's no way that I could do the job that I have without paying proper respect to the people that laid the foundation for this culture. And a lot of the times I feel like a lot of people don't give it the proper attention or respect that it deserves, and it's sad that it's that way, and I don't understand why it's that way, because without you guys, we wouldn't have hip-hop. So it's
Thank
just,
you.
I mean,
Thank
it was kind of cool, because today I posted my Damian Marley exclusive. I interviewed him last week or the week before, and my whole story was about how he got into hip hop because of Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style. But then as
right.
he did his research, you know, he learned about Kool Herc coming from Jamaica, essentially bringing toasting to the Bronx. And that kind of turned into the whole hip hop thing. And it's just, he was just blown away. I mean, even Damian Marley is telling me how much he respects the pioneers, and LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out was the first record he got. And, you know, it's just...
Wow. Well, hey, Kyle, I don't know how you wrote the interview because you say you can barely understand his accent.
Oh,
but,
it was hard.
But just to give you a hip-hop historical moment, Curtis Blow is the only MC rapper to perform with Bob Marley in Madison
what?
Square Garden. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, gosh, I wonder if he told me that.
He probably wasn't even born, but Curtis Blow performed with Bob Marley. He opened for Bob Marley.
I interviewed Curtis Blow before you connected me with him. Like, a couple years ago, Chuck D hooked me up with him, and we had the most amazing talk about New York and the birth of hip-hop. And I swear I remember him mentioning something about Madison Square Garden and Bob Marley, but I had forgotten. That's just wild. Like, we got to talk about
yeah.
that again.
Well, you know, it's so funny. It's like if you dig back into the true roots of the culture, a lot of the groups like Kool Cal and Grandmaster Flash and the Funky Four and the Furious Five, and a lot of these groups and DJ Hollywood, they was on the card with groups like Zap, the Gap Band,
yes.
Rick
yes.
James and the Dust, who helped open the doors for them on the road. Like,
yep.
it was those R&B groups, these
yep.
legendary groups opened the road up. Like, there's Rick James and Grandmaster Flash and Evelyn Champagne Kane in Detroit. You know, so it really was a change.
That's what's so cool about hip hop, because I wonder, you know, that new Tupac biopic came out, right? And in the movie they play California Love and with Tupac and Snoop Dogg, and who's in it but Zap? It's like, do people even realize who this guy is? Like, he is.
Exactly.
They are incredible. Like, I interviewed those guys, and wow, I've loved their music since I could listen to music. I mean, if you don't know these artists, like, you're not doing your homework. And that's how I look at it. And I guess that's how I consider my job, is like, it's research. It's learning. It's constantly learning. And if I stop learning, I might as well just put my pen down and put my freaking computer away, because I just don't think that's the way to operate. I have to learn as much as I can about this culture while I'm here, and that is my job.
So doing your homework will entitle to you to convince those at your company that Kool Herc, and then it was the Herculoids, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So now the Herculoids consist of the original Clark Kent, Kool Herc's first MC, Coke LaRock, and later on the Imperial DJ and Imperial JC. Now, on the phone, whenever you can get this approved, you got that interview.
Nice. Yeah, because there's four artists and four people on my list that I haven't talked to. And that's Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, Russell Simmons, and Rick Rubin. Those are four really big ones for me. Of course, I've always wanted to talk to Dre and Eminem, but at this point, they seem kind of unreachable. I don't know if that'll ever happen for me. I'm going to have to make it happen somehow, someday. But, yeah, so far, I haven't interviewed those guys yet.
Well, me and Cool Kyle will flip a coin on Herc. We'll reach out to somebody for Flash for you. But like I said, the Herculoids were there with Cool Herc, and their story is just important. Because then you'll find out how the two of the same records came into existence.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because how mixing records actually came about, because that's the groundwork and the blueprint for actually having two simultaneous records playing at the same time, which is the genesis of DJing. And it's not what everybody thinks it is. And we know the story. I mean, Clark Kent is our boy, and, you know, we're very close to all of them. And you can have that, Kyle, but until you talk to me personally, the original star child, I don't know if I'm going to let you get access to that. And now you're talking about you want to talk to Russell Simmons.
No, that is so funny, because I was going to say you too, but I was like, well, I'm already talking to him right now, so maybe he will let that slide.
No, hey, Van Soap.
Yes.
My man Van Soap, world famous promoter. We'll see what we can do for Kyle Eustace. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Of course you're on my list, too. I mean,
and
it
was so crazy. This is an interview. This is what we do here at Hip Hop You Don't Stop, Tribe Family Channel. We have conversations. It was like 9 o'clock this morning. I'm trying to go to sleep. And I get a phone call from Yusuf Salam from the Central Park 5. Know that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Central Park 5 that was accused of raping the jogger. He calls me this morning at 9 o'clock. And he said, Van, I got somebody sitting at the table here with me down here in Fort Lauderdale because we're doing a speaking engagement for Les Brown. I said, who? He said, I got Pebbles. I'm like, Pebbles? I mean, I know the singer Pebbles. I said, you mean Pebbly Pooh from Master Dawn, the Deaf Community? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So them two was together doing a motivational speaking this morning. And it's just so how funny is that in life, it's a circle. You know, Yusuf Salam, who was accused of rape, Donald Trump never apologized to him, took our full-page ad. But this man is going around the country speaking to people. And not only that, Netflix have a series coming out with them about their story. And it just goes to show you there's so many people that needs to be talked to, because, like, what me and Cal do, we call a lot of the missing people in hip-hop POWs, because the story don't revolve around the names you know. there's a lot of names that are not familiar to people that was instrumental to how that person got on.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if
I
you
mean,
want,
I would,
like,
yeah.
Let me a great example. If you want to say Grandmaster Flash, then you have to talk about the L brothers, Mean Gene, which is Theodore's older brother. That's the family tree he comes. That's the family tree he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to, when people say Disco King Mario from Soundview, you have to go back to Tyrone the Mixologist and his brother Cool D, who Disco King Mario used his system to play in the park in Soundview, and then Mario transitioned on and let Bambada use his system when he got his system. That's the tree of how it all starts. So there's a tree to everything. But we want to get into you more and what you do. What's been one of your most important articles or interview that you've done? Like, which, like, the artist you wanted to talk to and you was able to get to talk to them? Who was that, your top three artists you got to talk to as a fan also? Because I'm a fan of certain people, too. Who was you were a fan of but you was able to interview?
You know what? Yeah, you know what's cool? Like, I think that in the position that I'm in, I'm able to kind of pick and choose who I want to talk to. So pretty much every person that I've interviewed, I'm a fan of, which is amazing. Like, I never thought I would be so lucky. But there's so many. Like, just this week, I think one of my favorites, aside from Damian Marley, was JJ Fad. And I've known MCJB for a while, but, you know, I got to talk to Baby D and Sassy C as well. And to clear up the kind of story surrounding, you know, the Ruthless Records involvement and all that was incredible. If you guys, have you seen HBO's The Defiant Ones yet?
We know. Yes, I've seen Defiant Ones. And
yes.
Just to put you on the record, Grandmaster DST did a couple tracks for that. He worked on that project.
Yeah.
Grandmaster DST worked on that project also.
That's so dope. Yeah, well, so I obviously fell in love with that show. I binge-watched, like, all four episodes, like, in one day. And, you know, the scene where they show JJ Fad in the studio recording Supersonic, and when Dre says, you know, without them, without their, you know, platinum-selling album, NWA wouldn't have had the funding to put out their first record. I mean, and to hear that on record gave me chills. And so I reached out to them right away, and I was like, oh, my God, we have to do an exclusive about this. Like, get, you know, let's get everyone on the phone. And I had that up, like, that night. And to tell their story was really important and felt really good as another female in the hip-hop industry to put out there. And I got a lot of positive response, and it was just great. Like, I'm so happy for them. They deserve it. I hope somebody
does
a biopic on them.
Well, you know what? The LA scene, like I was telling you, Disco Daddy was the first rapper on the West Coast to make a record. And he's from Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the early 80s, Melly Mel, myself, Prince Whippoorwill from the Fantastic Five, Kaz, we all was going to LA. And we had a club called Africa Islam, who was the president of Zulu Nation at the time.
Right.
We had opened up a club called Water the Bush on Sunset Boulevard. So when we had actually Egyptian Lover was actually a DJ out there. I mean, there was nobody with no records. And,
I love him so much. You have no idea. Like, that is my buddy. And I absolutely love Electro to the day that I die. Like, it is so awesome.
so we helped build the LA scene. You know, we had McCullough Records on Santa Monica. I went and met with Don McMillan that owned McCullough Records because Ice-T and Toddy T and all of them was putting out 12-inch records. You know, Toddy T had a Battle Ram.
I love that. Still on my iPod today.
The Battle Ram?
Yep. Every iPod.
So when you had the DJs out there and the Glove and you had Lonzo Williams and all of them, and I was out in L.A. and I ran into this kid, like, yo, man, yo, I got this rap group. I'm like, yo, we the next, we hotter than N.W.A. I'm like, N.W.A. was just coming out. I'm like, yo, who are you? My name is Ann Capone. I'm from Compton's Most Wanted. So I go to his house, meet his father, and they play me the song. I go, wait a second. So what happened was, Al Capone did the first two records with Compton's Most Wanted, and then him and MCA got into it. Al Capone was the light-skinned one in the group. He was the DJ.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I'm still in touch with Al Capone. Me and Cal talked to Al about 5-6 months ago, and he said it was Van Silk that really put Compton's Most Wanted on because I got them a deal.
What? That's
yeah,
dope.
With Orpheus Records with Charles Huggins.
You're going
nice.
To trip. MC8 and I have become homies over the past, like, I'd say 6 months. And I talk to him almost every day at this point, but I just did the review on he and DJ Premier's new record, Which Way Is West. I'm so in awe of that guy. Like, MC8 is a real one. Like, that's my dude.
and to make it like even better, when we was going out there, the Booyah Tribe was trying to get a record deal. So what happened was, Rhyme Syndicate with Ice-T became
yes.
part of the Zulu Nation. Rhyme Syndicate was part of the Zulu Nation, and we used to be right there on Franklin Avenue in Hollywood, Africa Islam House or Africa Islam on that Casio keyboard, working on Ice-T's album. Because originally Ice-T cut his album in the Bronx. We bought Ice-T
no.
to New York. We bought Ice-T to New
yep.
York and cut his first album in the Bronx.
That's crazy.
Melly Mel,
that...
yeah, Melly Mel
yep.
was there, Donald D. I mean, it was just like Bronx-style Bob. And Ice-T got a deal with Sire Records that was in, you know, Ralph Cooper Jr. got him the deal. And, you know,
wow.
like our instrumental of coming out to California back in 83, 84, nobody had records. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was just like California. I was living out there, and Curtis Blow was already out there. And it was a nice scene. But we don't want to get into personal stories. hey, listen.
Well, Ice-T is definitely one that is, he was on my list too, and I finally, now I can just text him whenever I have a question. We've done several exclusives over the past few months, or I don't know, past year. The first story I did with him was for OK Player, and it was on the secret history of the making of New Jack City, which was fascinating. And, you know, he and I have become cool over the, you know, like I said, the past year. And anytime I have a question, anytime I want to do a story, he's just like a text away, which is really, really cool and like still boggles my mind sometimes. I mean, like my phone list, like my contact list is crazy. Like if I ever lost my phone, dude, oh my God, I feel like somebody would sell it on eBay.
Been there and done that.
This is my important question I want to ask you, then Kyle going to take over. What it, and,
okay.
and I talk to our dear brother all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like working with Chuck D?
In one word, make that two. It actually make that three. It's a dream. I mean, it's something that I kind of like pinch myself sometimes. I'm like, okay. You know, on a few occasions when he's in town and I'm able to go meet up with him, I'll tell you a funny story. The very first time that I met him in person, we were sitting downstairs in a hotel lobby in Council Bluffs, Iowa, of all places, and this was during the King of the Mike tour, and we're there to talk about the Rap Station show and You Don't Stop and Hip Hop Gods and all this stuff, and I zoned out for a good few, like 3 minutes while he was talking, and I'm like, you're sitting with Public Enemy's Chuck D right now. Like, you're actually sitting there with him, and it was a really kind of cool moment for me to kind of realize, like, you know, I've come pretty far in my career so far, and I mean, I've never met a single person who said a bad word about Chuck D. Not once. And I've talked about him to countless people. And, he is truly one of the most humble, awesome, knowledgeable people that I could have in my life. I kind of call him like my hip-hop dad. He doesn't know that, though. I call him out behind the scenes. But, yeah, he's I look up to him very much. And I feel like I wouldn't have been able to do a lot of these things without He got me on the phone with LL Cool J. He's always told me, like, oh, if you need anything, just drop my name. you won't believe what will happen. And, you know, it's been true. He is absolutely one of my favorite people.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Kyle, you know, your enthusiasm for hip-hop really impresses me because, you know, we talk to a lot of people. And not only because we know everybody, because I've been in the game since day one myself as an artist and as an original MC and b-boy and graffiti writer and all that, you know, from the very beginning. But, you know, we meet people and they go, I love hip-hop, and hip-hop did this for me and did that and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they mean it. A lot of times they really don't. But your enthusiasm is just, like, coming out of you. I can feel it. It's dripping out of my phone right now. And thank God I have a brand new S8. Which is like waterproof because you would have been ruined. Yeah, you would have been ruining my phone right now. And I'm really loving this. Yeah, word.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, somebody told me that like recently. They just said, you know, I think it was when I was getting promoted. I should mention that I started a DX about 8-9 months ago. And I got promoted, and they were just like, we're so impressed with your loyalty, your dedication, your enthusiasm. And I'm really glad that that's what people get from me because, like you said, I meet so many people that seem so, you know, kind of hollow and kind of full of it about their dedication to the craft and the culture. And that's never what I want to portray. Like, I always want my passion to kind of, like you said, bleed from the page or from the phone or the email, whatever, because I generally do love. I love what I get to do. I mean, I'm really lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones. A lot of people are at McDonald's working or cleaning, you know, toilets.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
I gotta be grateful.
I'm really feeling that right now, and that leads me to, you know, Vance. Okay, asked you a question. I was gonna ask you, and you covered that very well. Like, you're more important, like, interviews. What I really want to know right now is, where do you see yourself a couple of years from now, and where do you see Hip Hop DX? I actually can see you doing a visual thing on a regular basis. I'm not talking about a YouTube channel, because anybody can do that. Where do you see yourself taking your career, your knowledge, your writing skills, and your passion? Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself?
You know who I really admire is Angie Martinez, and I saw her curate an interview with Mary J. Blige on camera, and I thought, geez, I could see myself right in that chair doing exactly what she's doing. I just don't know what steps I'm going to take to get there, but I feel like I've had faith in the process for, you know, the past 7, 8, 9 years, and it's led me to nothing but great things. And if I just kind of stay the course and keep my head down and work really hard like I've been doing, I feel like nothing but good things will come of it. And, you know, I love radio. I love using my voice. That's something that I feel I'm kind of lacking. Like, I get to do a radio show for Chuck every day, but it's just like a quick, like, news recap on hip-hop. But for me, I really want to share my audio of all the interviews that I've done because you don't get to hear the voices, the emotion, the tone in an interview when you read it on a page. And for me, I feel like one of my strong suits is talking to people and laughing and getting them to tell me things. And it's like the most, it's so fun. And radio is somewhere that I'd really like to kind of go one day. Like,
okay.
I've been offered a show here in Colorado, but it's volunteer basis. It would, you know, be like, I couldn't make it make sense at this time just because to do something for free when I'm like, it would take me away from my paying job would be kind of ridiculous. But, you know, I went through the training. I learned how to do the boards. I mean, I know how to do it. I just, I don't know what the right opportunity will be yet. And, you know, we'll see. Somebody offered to do a podcast with me in Denver once a month and with NPR, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, I think that's definitely on the horizon at some point.
Sounds great. I can see you in New York or L.A. being that person because your knowledge is superlative. And
you really bring a lot to the game, you know, and it's rare that I say that to anybody who wasn't born into the game. Not that I'm prejudiced against people who feel the craft, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what we need to survive. But at the end of the day,
yeah.
No, really, because without people like you, where would we be? But,
right.
You know, to feel it the way you feel it and to bring it the way you bring it is great. And I actually can see you doing that. And you really answered
Thank
my
you.
Question. Really.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that makes me laugh because Joe Budden was interviewed by a 26-year-old kid. And the kid goes, you know, what does Tupac mean to you? Blah, blah, blah. What does All Eyes on Me mean to you? And he looks at me, he's like, how old are you? And the kid's like 26. He's like, do you like Tupac? He's like, no, I'm more of a rock guy. Well, what kind of rock do you like? Green Day or Blink 182? And he goes, Blink 182? He was so
wow.
mad. And it's like, and I can understand the frustration because, like, you know, if you, and a person who's interviewing you doesn't even really like hip hop, and you're talking
right.
about hip hop, it's kind of like, it's kind of offensive almost. Like, can you give me somebody that maybe knows what they're talking about?
Exactly.
That is the person I never want to be that person. So I've made sure to like do my homework. And like I said, I mean, I've been listening to this since I was a kid, and I grew up in the 80s, so I got all the good stuff too. Like I feel like I got a lot of the
right.
good stuff. You know, I may not have grown up in New York in the 70s, but I definitely have, like, you know, talked to the pioneers, like I said, extensively, and really try to get an idea of what that time was like. And, you know, Van Silk, you were really helping that. Kyle, you were really helping that. And I just really appreciate you guys, too. I mean, this is an honor for me. So.
Well, and we're going to have to really end our show because she has to go. But I want to say this before you go, is that I seen the Joe Budden interview, and I told Kyle about it. I said, he just got up and walked out like, yo. You've been listening. You're 26 years old. You've been listening. You listen to Tupac for 2 years. How are you gonna interview me? How are you gonna interview me? And you've only been listening to Tupac for 2 years.
Oh, I loved it. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I just thought that was brilliant.
I know, like, it was great. It was great.
Joe, I'm like, Joe, do you just keep doing you?
I did the same thing.
I did send Joe a message and told him to be careful out here because, you know, like, you know, you're coming off like you're angry. He didn't respond
right.
back to me yet. I sent it to him on Instagram Messenger.
Instagram, yeah.
But I'm quite
yeah.
sure he got the message. But I just want everybody to know, I just want everybody to know that this is Hip Hop You Don't Stop. It's sponsored by Tribe Family Channel, and my man Bruce George Genius is coming. And Kyle, I'm gonna need you to do a video from your phone.
Oh no,
like,
no, I will.
Like, what is your genius?
You, Kyle, not me. You, Kyle. Kyle Eustace.
Kyle, I need you to do a video. Like, what is your genius? And get it to me so I can get it to my guy Bruce George, who's also a sponsor, who's also one of the co-creators of Def Jam Poetry.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. The person that asked me to do the podcast is an HBO Def Jam poet named Idris Goodwin.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's so cool. Shout out to Idris.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
On that note, this is Van Silk and Cool Kyle. We on the phone with Kyle Eustace, editor, extraordinaire, Chuck D, Public Enemy, Rap Station, Thrasher, High Times. We miss anything else?
Man, I could go on for days. Ghetto Blaster, OK Player. You tell me. Trying to get them all, you know?
There you go. She loves hip-hop, and she's learning hip-hop. And as we always do, before we let our brother, DJ Kevy Kev Rockwell, come in with the mix, we give you the last word.
Who gets the last word? I do?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Last word. I want to mention that I am super proud of my two Wax Poetics covers. I did one on Big Daddy Kane and De La Soul. You guys should check those out. I just saw it for the first time in Japanese. I was blown away. I was staying at Cut Chemist's house in, in L.A., and I found it in his studio, and I'd never seen my name in Japanese before, so that was cool. And my first cover story for The Source was on Prince, May He Rest in Peace, and that's about it.
Well, there you go. Well, again, this is Van Silky Cool Cow.
Yes, sir.
This is Tribe Family Channel, W. Black, Bruce George, Genius Common, Van Silk and Cool Cow. We are out.
Hip Hop You Don't Stop.
Yep, Hip Hop You Don't Stop, When It Was Hip Hop. And I think our next guest is... Who's our next guest?
I don't know yet.
It could
be anybody. You know how we do.
I have to figure it out.
Yeah, we got to figure it out.
We'd like to say goodnight to everybody. I'm sorry, we'd like to say goodnight to everybody. And what you want to say, Kyle?
I was just thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kyle. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to both of you, Van Silk and Cool Kyle. Cool Kyle
no doubt,
number
Kyle.
Two is out.
Okay.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay, everybody
okay,
have a good
no
night
doubt.
And y'all have a safe weekend. We out.
You too.
See ya.
This is Man Bantle and Cool Kyle checking in on Hot Rod Radio, When It Was Hip Hop Radio Show, Life and Lifestyle. Yep, I'm with my man, the greatest of them all, Hip Hop Ambassador, DJ Kevin Cat Rockwell. Make sure you check us out, Text Mix. This is Bantle and Cool Kyle. They're out.
DJ Kevy Kev Rockwell.
No doubt, yeah. Keeping it you, you know what I do. Big up to the host, the legendary Van Silk. To the co-host, the legendary Cool Kyle and Star John. To all the ambassadors, DJs, and MCs, you know how we do. Once again, it's Kevy Kev Rockwell, Cool Kyle the Star Child, and the legendary Van Silk.
Girls are dressing less than checking out the fella to tell them who's best. riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this line to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
But I brought two friends along, and next on the mic is my my man Hank. Come on and sing that song.
Check it out, I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why. You see, I'm 6'1", and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a T. You see, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. I got bodyguards, I got two big guns that definitely ain't the whack. I got a Lincoln Continental and a some new Cadillac. So after school, I take a dip in the pool, which is really on the wall. I got a color TV so I can see the Knicks play basketball. Hear me talking my checkbook, cause it costs more money than a sucker could ever spend. But I wouldn't give a sucker or a bum from the rock and not a dime till I made it again. Everybody go, hotel, motel, what you gonna do today? Cause I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some swag and drive off in a Death OJ. Everybody go, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Say if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. A Master G, or my Melon, is on you. So what you gonna do?
Well, it's on and on and on and on and on. The beat don't stop until the break of dawn. I said a M-A-S, a T-E-R, a G with a double E. I said I go by the unforgettable name of the man they call a Master G. Well, my name is known all over the world by all the foxy ladies and the pretty girls. I'm throwing down in history as the baddest rapper that ever could be. Now I'm feeling the highs and you're feeling the lows. The beat starts getting into your toes. You start stomping your fingers and stomping your feet and moving your body while you're sitting in your seat. Then damn, they start doing the freak. I said bam, I ride it out of your seat. Then you throw your hands high in the air. You're rocking to the rhythm, shaking there. Air. You're rocking to the beat without a care. Who's the short shot MCs for the affair? Now I'm not as tall as the rest of the gang, but I rap to the beat just the same. I got a little face and a pair of rhyme eyes. All I'm here to do, ladies, is hypnotize. Sing it on and on and on and on and on. The beat don't stop until the break of dawn. I sing it on and on and on and on and on. Like a hot butter, the pop, the pop, the pop, give it, give it, pop, the pop, pop. You don't dare stop, but come alive, y'all. Give me what you got. I guess by now you can take a hunch and find that I am the baby of the bunch, but that's okay. I still keep in stride, cause all I'm here to do is get a wiggle your behind. Sing it on and on and on and on. The beat don't stop until the break of dawn. Sing it on and on and on and on and on. Rock, rock, yo. Throw it on the floor. I'm gonna freak you here. I'm gonna freak you there. I'm gonna move you out of this atmosphere. Cause I'm one of a kind and I'll shock your mind. I put the jig, jig, jiggles in your behind. I say the 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, girl. Get on the floor. Come alive, yo. Give me what you got, cause I'm guaranteed to make you rock. I said 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me, Wonder Mike, what are you waiting for?
To the hip, hop, the hippie to the hippie, the hip, hip, a hopper, you don't stop. Rock it to the bang, bang, the boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie bead. Well, skittle and bebop, we rock a Scooby-Doo. And guess what, America, we love you. Well, cause we rock in a row with us so much so. You can rock till you're 101 years old. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but we're like hot butter on a breakfast toast. Rock it out. Baby bubba to the boogie, bang bang, the boogie to the beat. Beat is so unique. Come on, everybody, and dance to the beat.
Everybody, I say it goes like this. While I was coming home late one dark afternoon, reporters stopped me for an interview. interviews. She said she's heard stories and she's heard fables that are vicious on the mic. And the turntable, this young reporter I did adore. Start rocking vicious rhyme like I never did before. She said, damn, fly guy, I'm in love with you. Casanova legend must have been true. I said, by the way, baby, what's your name? Said, I go by the name Lois Lane. And you can be my boyfriend, you sure they can. Just let me quit my boyfriend called Superman. I said, he's a fairy, I do suppose. Flying through the air and pantyhose. He may be very sexy or even cute, but he looks like a sucker in a blue and red suit. I said, you need a man who's got finesse and his whole name across his chest. He may be able to fly all through the night, but can he rock a party till the early light? He can't satisfy you with his little worm, but I can bust you out with my super sperm. I go do it, I go do it, I go do it, do it, do it. And I'm here, and I'm there, I'm Big Bang Hank, I'm everywhere. I just throw your hands up in the air and party harder like you just don't care. Let's do it, I don't stop, y'all, I take a talk, y'all. You don't stop, I go hotel, motel. And what you gonna do today? I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a death OJ. Everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take a friend. I say skip, God, what can I say? I can't fit them all inside my OJ, so I just take half and bust them out. I give the rest of Master G so he can shock the house.
It was 12 o'clock the one Friday night. I was rocking to the beat, feeling all right. Everybody was dancing on the floor, doing all the things they never did before. And then the fly, fly girl with a tender lead, she came into the bar, she came into the scene. As she traveled deeper inside the room, all the fellas checked out her white ass shoe. She came up to the table, looked into my eyes, then she turned around and shook her behind. So I said to myself, it's time for me to release my vicious rhyme, I call my masterpiece. And now people in the house, this is just for you. A little rap to make your boogaloo. Now the group you hear is called Phase 2. And let me tell you something, we're a hell of a crew. Once a week, we're on the street just to cut the jam and make it free. For you to party, got to have the mood, so we'll get right down and give you a groove. For you to dance, you got to be hot, so we'll get right down and make it rock. Now, system on and the girls are there. You definitely have a rockin' affair. But let me tell you something, it's still one fact that to have a party, got to have a rap. So when the party's over, you're making it home and trying to sleep before the break of dawn. And while you're sleeping, you start to dream and think of how you dance on a disco scene. A name appears in your mind, yeah, a name you know that was right on time. It was Phase 2, I just a do and a do, rocking you down cause you don't be good to the rhythm of the beat that makes you free. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. To the rhythm of the beat, the beat, to the double beat, beat that makes to the rhythm of the beat that says you go on and on until the break of dawn. I got the man coming on right now. He's guaranteed to no doubt. He goes by the name of Wonder Mike. Come on, Wonder Mike, do what you like.
I say a can of beer that's sweeter than honey, like a millionaire that has no money, like a rainy day that is not wet, like a gambling fiend that does not bet, like Dracula without his fangs, like the boogie to the boogie without the boogie bang, like collard greens that don't taste good, like a tree that's not made out of wood. Like going up and not coming down, it's just like the beat without the sound. On down to the beat, beat, you do the freak. Everybody just rock and dance to the beat. Have you ever went over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni's soggy, the peas are mushed, and the chicken tastes like wood. So you try to play it off like you think you can by saying that you're full. And then your friend says, mama, he's just being polite, he ain't finished, oh, that's full. So your heart starts pumping and you think of a lie and you say that you already ate. And your friend says, man, there's plenty of food, so keep piling for more on your plate. But while the sticky food's steaming, your mind starts to dream of the moment it's time to leave. And then you look at your plate and your chicken's fully rotting into something that looks like cheese. Oh, so you say, that's it, I got to leave this place, I don't care what these people think. I'm just sitting here making myself nauseous with this ugly food that stinks. Oh, so you bust out the door while it's still closed, still sick from the food you ate. And then you run to the store for quick relief from a bottle of KO Pectate. And then you call your friend 2 weeks later to see how he has been. And he says, I understand about the food, babe, but we're still friends. But with a hip hop, the hippie to the hippie, the hip hip, the hoppy, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang. You can say up jumps the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I said, Hank, can you rock? Can you rock to the rhythm that just don't stop? Or can you hit me to the shoo-be-doo? I said, I come on, make the people move.
I go juice the holes and then ring the bell, because I am the man with the clientele. And if you ask me why, I rock so well in Big Bang. I got clientele from the time I was only 6 years old. I never forgot what I was told. It was the best advice that I ever had. It came from my wise and dear old dad. He said, sit down, punk, I want to talk to you. And don't say a word until I'm through. Now there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live and a time to die, a time to break and a time to chill, to act civilized or act real ill. But whatever you do in your lifetime, you never let an MC steal your rhyme. So from 66 to this very day, I'll always remember what it had to say. So when the sucker MCs try to jump my style, I let them know that I'm versatile. I got style, finesse and a little black book. It's filled with rhymes and I know you want to look. But the thing that separates you from me, and that is all originality, because my rhymes are on. From what you heard, I didn't even bite, not a dot word. And I say a little more later on tonight, so the sucker MCs can fight all night. I take a shot, y'all, a beat, y'all, a left rock, y'all. Get no stop, go hotel, motel. Or what you gonna do today?
Say what?
I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some swag and drive off in a death. Oh yeah, everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Say if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. I like that, y'all. I to the beat, y'all. A beat, y'all. You don't stop. I'm Master G. I'm on Melo. It's on you. So what you gonna do?
Well, I like Johnny Carson on the late show. I like Freddie Crocker in stereo. I like the barcade singing Holy Ghost. The sound of those down. I definitely the most is like my man. A Captain Sky. His name's E. Earn with the Super Spur. We rock and we don't stop. I get off, y'all. I'm here to give you what you got. I to the beat that it makes you freak. Come alive, girl. I get on your feet. I like a Pepsi Mason without a case. Like Sarah Foster without her face. Like the barcade. On the mic, like getting like down for you to not like moving your body, so you don't know how. Right to the rhythm and slow down, like coming alive. It's the Master G, the brother who rocks your business. See, at the age of one, my life begun. At the age of two, I was doing it too. At the age of three, it was you and me rocking to the sounds of the Master G. At the age of four, I was on the floor giving all the beats what they bargained for. At the age of five, I didn't take no job with the Master G. So the way I I went off, I gotta run on down to the beat, you see, getting right on down, making all the girls just take off the car to the beat, to beat, to the double beat, beat that makes you free. At the age of eight, I was a really great, so very nice to see.
Van Silk, and in our lifetime we are all considered geniuses. So I'm down with the movement called Genius is Common. What's my genius? I was one of the from the first generation of hip-hop promoters. I was one of the last promoters. To all my peers of the Ray Chandlers and AJs and Man Diplight and Mike and Dave and Sandwich and Inner City Disco and to Nubian Productions, and I kept things popping. My genius is that I was told I could never put together the first pay-per-view special for black music, which was Rappermania. 55 acts, that was $2.5 million. My second genius, and what I said was the Rakim versus Big Daddy Kane and LL versus Kumo D. Yeah, it didn't happen because certain participants felt that they didn't want to battle, but the money was there. So my third genius for TV was putting together Sisters in the Name of Rap. That was all the females available in 1991, which I did with John Cher, who did Woodstock 2. My fourth genius is, yes, I've ran record labels, worked at record labels. The last label I worked at, I was supposed to be working on getting Lauryn Hill's album out in Bridge Cross. Still to this day, Lauryn Hill haven't dropped that album when RCA sent me out to work at Rough House Record with Joe Nicola. There's a lot of genius in everybody. From the urban modeling game, from working with Buffy the Body, to Hoops, to Esther Baxter, to Gloria Velez, to Sunday Carter, to Brooke Bailey, to creating Titanium Girls magazine, to working with Compton's Most Wanted and helping them with their deal, to working with my boys Prince Vince and them out of Detroit, to working with the DBL crew out of Atlantic City. That's the genius. The genius is that you continue on putting things together. The naysayers will say, yo, all talk and no action. Where's your action? I'd improve myself. Put ideas in the collective bargaining together because you got to be a genius. Never let nobody say that you can't do nothing. But in the end, in order to be a genius and for it to be common, you got to be fair. If it's about you, you're going to fail. If it ain't about a collective bargaining, then genius is common. This is your boy, Van Silk. There's a lot of surprises coming in 2017. Genius is common. And to all you people that want to tell me you want to book me for speaking and all psychologists, my genius is Paulette Cunningham is my manager and agent. Get in touch with her. Van Silk is out. Bruce George, genius is common. I'm out, y'all. That's it.
Greetings. My name is Bruce George, and I'm the founder of the slogan, Genius is Common. The word genius is an elitist word. Of the elitist, for the elitist, and by the elitist. And what Genius is Common basically is doing is it is tearing down the Berlin Wall of the word genius. What I would like for you to do is to join us around the world in tearing that elitist word down and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. In actuality, we are all geniuses. We all have a genius seat. Some call it God, some call it other things. You take a young lady who's from an inner city project, housing project, who microbraids hair like Picasso painted, that's her genius. You take a gentleman that has been buffing floors for over 40 years where the floor looks like it's wet but it's dry, that's his genius. What we're doing around the world is we are uploading videos to YouTube expressing what our individual genius is. We would love for you to join us with this campaign. When you upload your video, make sure that you include the hashtag #GeniusIsCommon and GeniusIsCommon.com. We're looking forward to you being a part of this movement. Signing off, Bruce George, founder of the slogan Genius is Common.